Hello, everyone. This is Rillian, and welcome back to the NaughtyWeb.com podcast. I am Rillian, your host, and today we have Glumpuddle.
Back again?
Back once again. You're like the Terminator. You just keep coming back. I can't keep you away.
Unfortunately, yes.
I offered to bribe this guy, but to no avail. maybe it's the, would have been easy with all the funds we have coming in through this podcast, but...
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But it's not too often we talk about Word on the Street, but we are going to talk a little bit about that. And Glumpuddle gets to edit this one, so
Yay.
We'll see how promptly he is on this. Well, so we're gonna, basically we're going to talk about Anna Popplewell. There was a brief interview with her. Well, not really an interview. She was just asked about it, about Don Treader, and she had a comment, which we will talk about briefly. There's also a magazine article, which Icarus was good enough to post and scan for us. And then we have another brief, kind of a hearsay comment about Michael Apted that we'll discuss. So starting off with Anna Popplewell, in at the UK premiere of Charlie St. Cloud, she was asked about Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and she said, "I'm only in a teeny tiny fraction of it. I just went out basically to do this one scene and to visit. But it looks like it's going to be really good, and I'm obviously excited to see it." And that's basically all we have. And, of course, there's it's not a lot surprising there from what we saw in the trailers. But, Glumpuddle, you and I talked about this on the phone.
Yeah, and I think, well, first off, when this came out, I guess I've just realizing now, I've kind of been assuming for a while that, yeah, of course, Peter and Susan are only going to have small roles. I wasn't – that's not something I was worried about. I mean, I was obviously hoping that their presence wouldn't be annoying, that it would make sense, but I wasn't worried about them having big roles. So when I first read this, I'm like, well, this is – you know, this is interesting. Narnie Webbers will probably want to hear it. So I went ahead and posted it in the Word on the Street section, not thinking, oh, it's interesting, but not, you know, big news. But then it got such a reaction – that when another video came up the next day where she basically said the same thing, I was like, all right, let's go ahead and post this on the front page. So apparently a lot of people weren't as confident as I was that she is just going to have a really small role in the film. And for me, that's like, all right, that's good. It's just I feel better about the fact that she isn't going to have a big role, but you seem to have kind of a different reaction to it.
Well, I suppose for me, I had not taken it for granted that it was just going to be one little bitty scene. I guess I had I thought that was the most probable case, that okay, maybe when they get to Aslan's country, although I think they're not wearing the same clothes from what we've seen, which kind of made me think, oh, well, maybe I should be open to the possibility that they that it doesn't, you know, it's not like a little appearance. It's more like they enter into the story towards the end. And I thought, man, I is it possible they'll get on the ship? And so I guess I had not taken it for granted, but I mean, there's no easy way to just be, for me to be happy about it, because, and I've said this before about, things like the Seven Swords, which we actually haven't heard any more about, interestingly enough, but if it is significant, then it's a big change to the story. If Peter and Susan have a big role, and obviously fans are going to be upset about that because they're changing the book even more. But if it does come in, if they do come in just really briefly for a teeny tiny fraction of it, as Anna said, then it's, I think it's going to be in some ways maybe not as annoying, but it's still going to be very annoying, because I think it'll come across as, oh, yes, they're just throwing in a little cameo. And maybe it won't that way. Maybe it won't come across as just, oh, an annoying little cameo. But I think that was just kind of my response. I was kind of, ah, yes, it is just going to feel like a cheap little cameo. But you said over the phone, well, isn't this the lesser of two evils? And I suppose it is.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. As far as you're worried that that this is basically, what is the motivation behind this cameo? Is it, were they writing a scene and we're not really sure what that scene is? A lot of people think it's probably the Magician's Book scene, but were they writing a scene and said, you know what would be great if they could have Peter Susan here? Wow, that would really work. Or from the beginning, were they like, okay, where can we find a place to squeeze in Peter and Susan? Mm-hmm. So obviously you hope that it won't just be a big distraction. Like, I think that Scarecrow's very brief appearance in The Dark Knight was kind of weird. Struck me as kind of random. And for a lot, that's an issue a lot of critics had with the White Witch scene in Prince Caspian, was it just felt really odd to bring back the major villain from the first film for just one scene.
And you think it's gonna feel even bit worse for this one?
Right. Well,
I mean, it's just gonna be even odder. More
I'm
odd.
not as worried about this one. I just I'm not sure why, really. But to me, it's just I think what you were kind of saying on the phone a little bit was, well, gosh, if you're gonna do it, then just do it. Like, follow through with it. You know, don't just like throw it in there randomly. And it's like, well, like, which one's worse? If they actually bring them back for quite a bit of the movie and really find an interesting way to work them into it that makes sense, or just have a little tiny cameo that doesn't really make sense. You know, which one's worse? I would tend to lean towards the little cameo not being as bad.
Yeah, I mean, the only way of really consoling myself is saying, ah, I can do my own, edited version of the Dawn Treader.
Right.
But I mean, I would not. I almost really thought it might have worked better for the film overall to have them in there, but to say have them in briefly at the beginning in England or something and work them in somewhere there. And I wouldn't. And then if I had just seen the posters, then I would have thought that. But
The
I don't know. I'm
theater
almost
stand,
looking.
the theater
The
stand, you
theater
mean?
stand,
Yeah.
sorry, the theater stand. Wretched as it was, but I think I know I what's odd about this one shot. I've seen it to the point that I'm almost wondering if it's not even in the movie. I'm almost wondering if it's a shot specifically
No,
done for teasers.
there's no way. There's no
They've
way
done it before. People have done it
they would
before.
not like. But look at the set. Look at the costumes. They're not going to film that just for the teaser. I mean, Fox has been playing a little bit dirty up to now, but that would just stoop to new levels, I think. That they don't even appear in the movie. And
Maybe I'm being way too hopeful, but when they did it for Lord of the Rings, they did it for they filmed stuff for Lord of the Rings that they never put in the,
yeah, well, it's, yeah,
or
but.
they didn't intend to put in the
Right.
movies.
I mean, they'll film. Obviously, there are deleted scenes, but they're not going to film something just for the sake of a trailer.
No, I'm saying they have done it with Lord of the
But not
Rings. That's
nothing
what they
this
did.
big, though. Is what I'm saying. You know, that'd be nuts. Now, I think
Well,
that's.
no, I'm saying no, they are in the film. I'm sure they're in the film.
But you're saying
I'm
that
just
this
saying.
shot.
That one shot. I'm wondering just the way they were walking towards the camera is what I. That's what I'm saying. Is I
No,
almost
there's
wonder if
no
they did
way
that.
something that major they would do. I can't even.
Okay. Well, I'm just still. We'll have to figure. I'm just wondering what the clothes are because the
What the
clothes are
heck?
different than
Yeah,
they
this
were at
whole
the
thing
end of the
is
world.
what the heck? I don't understand, and I can't say if it's good or bad because I'm completely clueless as to what it's about.
Blah.
Exactly, my thoughts exactly.
So. Okay, moving on from
Yeah, there's really
the
nothing else to
headache.
say there. Just still tearing my hair. What is going on?
Well, why don't you head off on the SFX magazine article?
Yeah, this article includes a picture, which I'm trying to
A
pull.
big shot
A
picture.
big shot. That's right, where it looks like Edmund and Lucy and Caspian are surrounded by men that we assume. Actually, I don't see Caspian there. That we assume are Gumpus's men surrounding them. They're gonna, enslave them and all that. And my first reaction, and this is appears to be tied to a picture we saw a month earlier, where Edmund is seen actually using his electric torch. So apparently he left his torch in Narnia and got it back, which he never actually reacted to. How do you feel about that, actually? Yeah, you actually see him using his electric torch to look
I'm thinking I want those batteries. I
at.
want to think, wow, British ingenuity there shining through. Those are some amazing
Did he like
batteries.
keep his torch? Did he like buy a new torch and keep it with him all the time, just on the off chance that he would be thrown back into Narnia and it somehow survived the water? Or did what was it?
I think it's the same torch.
It sure looks like it. You got to maybe.
But what happened to the last one? I
I
mean,
mean,
I guess that,
just in the same way that Sue, because Edmund never got a gift, so maybe it's like all the royal treasures are kept, and Lucy's got.
Oh, your
They keep
torch.
Lucy's cordial, and they keep Susan's bow and Peter's sword and Edmund's electric torch.
Caspian's walking around thinking, what is this? My goodness. The dwarves must have made this.
But anyway, so the whole like. That whole line that was just meant for humor at the end of Prince Caspian, I left my torch in Narnia, they're going to actually make that an important part of the plot. The fact that he left his torch, just like how Susan left her horn in Narnia at the end of Wardrobe, and that becomes important. Edmund leaves his torch in Narnia at the end of Caspian, and it becomes important later. Just throwing that out there. But I don't really think so. But anyway, the important part of this is in the picture from SFX, you see them all being surrounded, and we think this it looks like Gumpus's men. He's going to catch them and try to enslave them and everything. And I kind of saw it, and I didn't think that much of it. I mean, I looked at it and thought, yeah, it really looks like they've changed the scene quite a bit.
Well,
what's all that?
Because from the teaser trailer, we saw a shot, presumably of the Lone Islands, of a Fawn doing some acrobats, so we thought, okay, there's going to be fighting on the Lone Islands.
Right, but I really looked at that as when they're actually freeing the slaves. This looks like when they're captured. And which in the book, you know, it's when they're walking across, and they're you know, sort of walking across sand, and they get captured by Pug and all of them. And this looks like they're being surrounded in some sort of structure, and there's books and stuff behind them. You can't really tell what it is. It looks like it might be a coffin. I think we're just speculating that because that's a detail from the leaked script. But I looked at it and thought, okay, this looks like kind of different from the book, but you know, nothing to write home about. And then I read Icarus's analysis in the forum, and I really think that nothing we can say on this podcast is going to top what Icarus wrote. He just hit it out of the park. I read it and went, oh my gosh, there's so much more, potentially so much more to this photo than I realized. And he pulled from so many different sources and of things where it's like, how the heck did he remember that picture? And just really, he's basically like a, it was like a, he, it's like he did a Google search through his memory or something. And he potentially related things. But anyway, he tied it to a scene in the leaked script where, and we've been hearing about this bell tower scene. We weren't really sure what it was about. But a scene in the leaked script where they open this coffin and find out that apparently the knife that killed Aslan, the stone knife, was supposed to be there. And just when they find that out, these slavers, you know, swing down on ropes from the bell with, you know, knives in their teeth and start, you know, attacking them or whatever. So I think that's kind of the main thing that worries me about this. Oh, no, oh, great. Another detail from the leaked script we're seeing here. Because as you know, I mean, I remember Jim Fan at the beginning on the podcast, she was really worried about it. And I was just kind of saying, oh, whatever, I believe them. I don't think there's going to be hardly anything in the script in there. And now between the trailer and this, it seems like, well, we are seeing some things in there. So it's kind of nervous. Are they going to have that thing about the stone knife? Or I really don't like the idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at some of the photos. It does not look like a coffin. When I'm looking at the one –
But it could be a coffin, and that's a detail from the leaked script.
It is a detail from the leaked script, but it doesn't – I would never guess it was a coffin, partly because of all the things piled on top of it. Mm-hmm. And also, if you go to the MTV News exclusive picture, then it looks more round and doesn't look like a coffin. And Icarus links to that in his article, but in his analysis.
Yeah.
And by the way, he even pulls in, I think he pulls in a satellite photo in one of his, when he talks about the bell tower. I'm thinking, man, if he wants to work for MI5, go to it. maybe he does. Anyway. But, no, I think that his analysis has a lot going for it. I guess I just assumed, looking at it, that it might even be when they were being freed. But if – I mean, I'm tending to kind of go towards the leaked script if that's if that was the case here and this is where and when they were captured.
It does look to me like they're being captured, yeah.
So –
And even before I made the leaked script connection, when I just saw the picture, I was like, oh, this is probably – if this really is Gumpus's men, which is from the costumes, it definitely looks like it.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely go with that.
Yeah.
I
so think it's like, oh, that's Gumpus's probably men. when they're captured. And, of course, it raises all the questions of, well, what are they doing? What's this book they're looking at? And I don't know, it's just one of those things where if it wasn't for the leaked script, I would look at this picture and I would just kind of go, okay, it looks like they're captured in a slightly different way, different location, you know, whatever. It doesn't seem like a big mm-hmm. deal. But because of the leaked script connection and the whole stone knife thing, which was so awful in the leaked script, that makes me more nervous.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but this is the kind of thing. Let's say they did include the stone. They had the stone knife in the leaked script. And I could very much well see them saying, well, sure, we're throwing away the stone knife, but let's not throw away the way that they're captured, because we came up with such a cool idea there with them coming
right.
down on the ropes. And so I'm hesitant to necessarily think that the stone knife is still going to be there.
Right. I mean, and that is often the case with scripts. You know, that, you know, that ideas they come up with, they kind of get attached to them and say, well, that was actually a cool idea. Let's hang on to that, like you're saying. So, yeah, that doesn't mean they're going to have the stone knife plot, whatever that was, here. But I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's the only thing that makes me queasy about the whole
Right.
situation.
Yeah, I was looking at the photo again. It is, I mean, if this were them being freed, then Edmund still wouldn't have his sword and scabbard. So it
Right.
does make sense that this is them being captured. And
It
oh,
looks
they
like a
have the.
Telmarine sword too, by the way. Little detail
It is
there.
a Telmarine sword, yeah. And they have the Fight Club header off to the left on the photo. Does it bother you what you're seeing here? Let's just say them being captured in this way. I don't really. I'm not really minding it.
Well, not. I'm not immediately opposed to it, to the idea of them being captured. I mean, it's still like. It just kind of makes me wonder. Well, there's almost everything we see that we recognize from the book so far. There's also some major element of it where it's like, what the heck is that about? They've obviously added something big to this. So this is like, what are they doing in this tower? What are these books they're looking at that are so interesting, apparently? It just seems like there's obviously this major. It just seems like the Lone Islands are going to be used in a really different way.
Well,
so
yeah,
it's
and
like
you have
this picture
the MLG. There's
yeah.
the MLG, which we suspect comes into play at the Lone Islands.
God, there are just so many elements to that. Like, how does it all tie together? And I was just kind of with Prince Caspian, I was expecting this, and I was okay with it. Like, yeah, they basically have to start from scratch. And with Don Shredder, this is a little more surprising to me, and I'm a little more uncomfortable with it.
I'm not surprised at all that they would go for fighting here. I was really, maybe I was just so prepared for it.
Well, that's okay.
I mean, because I was thinking, okay, where is the place where they definitely try to put in, but it's something in the Lone Islands. I mean, they're just reading the book, taking over the islands peacefully. No way. We can't have that.
Oh,
this is
whole,
a Hollywood
that's
film.
That's the whole fun of it in the book.
I know.
But little things like this, where it looks like there's going to be more of a fight when they're captured, I don't have a problem with that. And honestly, action is something that actually tends to work better in movies than in a book, because it's so tedious to read through detailed descriptions of, and then Edmund raised his sword and the guy blocked it and they scuffled. That can get that can kind of get old. But in a movie, it's very, very simple. You just show it and it happens. So
and it might be short. It might be short where they quickly overwhelm them. Personally, and this is kind of a side note, if I were directing the film, I would put in a sword fight in one place where there is not one in the book, and that's where Caspian tells Lord Byrne that he's welcome to challenge him in a sword fight. And I would have had a duel there just because I love dueling, but that's just me. But I don't know. I guess so far, I don't know. It is really confusing with, you know, how much of the leaked script are they pulling in. Obviously, Dr. Cornelius is not here.
Right, that's good.
Which he was in the leaked script.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, obviously that's not all there.
Yeah, it's not like this was part of the leaked script that we freaked out about. Like, oh my, they're going to get captured in a tower? You know, it was more about the stone knife and there is no blah blah, there is the account book, you know, and all these weird lines and... It was really more that element, so I don't know. It just depends on how much of it has remained unchanged.
Yeah. I mean, I am not opposed to them having a scuffle when they're captured.
No.
Because they almost had one in the book.
Yeah.
But I guess it's too late to hope, because we know that they're going to have a fight to reclaim the, in some way, free them.
But we hope that somehow the spirit of...
Yeah,
he managed
kind of
to
tricking them.
Trick them into it. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I hope that the spirit of that comes through. And yeah, but still, there being a fight at all to me is annoying. Where this isn't just a case where it's like, yeah, let's. There's kind of room for an action scene here. Let's put it there. It's not just Hollywood doing that. It's a case where what the entire point of the scene is that there's no fighting. That's what defines the scene. And so it just.
And one of the best. Line one of the best King dialogue scenes I've ever read anywhere.
Where they
with Caspian and Gumpus.
Gump, yeah, like push him out of his chair and everything.
Yeah,
and
I just
so
love that whole dialogue scene. It's
and
so
like
interesting.
Caspian's there with like a very small crew. He's so vulnerable, But just by the way he kind of walks in
confidence.
There, and yeah, he just talks his way out of it. It's so brilliant. So hopefully the spirit of that is they keep that. Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. And again, and this scene doesn't really address that, so it's hard to say. But
yeah.
It's, you know, we can speculate. Well, and again, if you want guys want to read more, I mean, there's not really a lot more I can really say. I can definitely say go read Icarus's post. It's in the general movie discussion section called SFX Magazine number 201, New Photo is the title of the thread.
And he started the thread, so it's the very first post.
Right.
Really well done.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we just got one more thing here then.
One more thing. And this is something I got a phone call from.
Sorry about that.
From Glumpuddle. And I'm trying to remember everything you said. It was. I just gotten out of class. I have a night class. And I just got out of class. And I hear Glumpuddle say, "Hey, dude."
This is a message I left on his
message saying, "Hey, man, I you ought to check out the word on the street. You're not going to be happy. I know I'm not. All right, talk to you later." Like, and I'm going, what? And I'm driving home going, what? What? I'm thinking, man, what could it be? He's like, oh, yeah, they're definitely following up on a Caspian Lucy romance. You know, I'm going, what?
As soon as I hung up the phone, I was like, man. That's going to sound really – because I guess I just assumed you'd be like in front of your computer when you got it. So, but I hung up and I was like, man, that's going to sound a lot worse than it actually is.
So,
and it might actually be a good thing now.
It might. It might. But basically, there was an article featuring Joe Dante. I may be butchering his name, but I don't think so. And he's talking about films being converted to 3D. And he mentions Michael Apted. He says, a lot of directors don't necessarily want to add 3D. It's done without their consent. This is something I didn't actually know, which I thought was interesting reading this. But he says, my friend Michael Apted just did a Narnia picture, and he was very upset that they insisted that his finished film be turned into 3D because he had no intention when he was making it of doing it. He said, if I was going to do a 3D movie, I would have done it differently.
And so I read that, and my first reaction was, oh, that's so annoying that, you know, for purely commercial motives that – even though I kind of already thought that, but reading it, my first reaction was, oh, they're cheapening this up. They're trying to take a director's vision and the vision of an artist and just basically distort it for commercial gain, and that's irritating. So when I called you, that's kind of the mode I was in. Having calmed down a little bit now, I guess it's kind of like this might actually be a good thing because it means that kind of what you were talking about in an earlier podcast about, well, hopefully what that means that when they were shooting it, they weren't saying, oh, make sure you hold your spirit a little higher. It'll look great in 3D.
Right. I mean, you can kind of have – I mean, yes. You can – there's three kind of possibilities here. One, you can film the movie without considering – 3D. You can just film it and say, okay, we're going to film this just the same way as we would if we were filming a 2D film, which is what Michael Apted apparently did. And we
right,
can talk
because,
about
just because when they were shooting, the decision to convert it to 3D had not been made.
Right. And we can talk about special effects here in just a second. But then you can also say, oh, we're going to do it. It's a 3D film. Oh, well, let's make sure that we blow the audience away with all these different things, which is the way a lot of 3D films have been done in the past. And then there's kind of the Avatar route where it's not drastically different, but you do consider it and say, well, hey, if this actually is a 3D shot, or if this is going to be – if they're all in 3D, maybe we should actually have this movement in this direction or have the, you know, scenery go this way. So then there's that route, which – Michael,
and then of course, the key part of that is that Avatar shot with special cameras,
right?
Which makes it real 3D.
Right. Yeah. And this was again converted to 3D, which I'm never happy with. And just so, in case you're wondering, if you watch a movie like Avatar, that was shot with 3D cameras. If you watch a film like Alice in Wonderland or Clash of the Titans, or even saw the trailers in 3D, those were converted after the fact. But I mean, this was something I think. You know, Apted would have wanted to do the Avatar route, kind of saying, oh, well, let me consider this as I'm, you know, shooting things differently. But, I mean, as far as if we're going to rate those, yes, going the Avatar route where you're, you know, setting up the shots with that in mind is obviously better, certainly from a creative standpoint. But this, to me, is so much better than in some ways saying, yeah, Michael Apted had never done a 3D film before, and he decided to really try out a few experiments here just to throw some – if they had said something like, oh, yeah, once we told Apted we were filming in 3D, he completely changed the style and said, this make this a really fun movie. And if I'd read that, I would have been kind of horrified.
I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people agree. Some people might disagree with me here, but what we don't want is just stuff flying at the screen just because it's in 3D. So I think the – and we'll talk about visual effects in a second, but the good news behind this is that I feel like the 2D version is safe. If you don't – that when we see the movie on DVD, it's not like, oh, I see that shot there. Well, that looked cool in 3D, but now it's kind of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's what I feel good about. But then I don't know. I just get so worried about it. It just cheapens up the whole thing to have like, you know – bad 3D that's just done for the sake of 3D. To me, it just takes this really book that's so special to me. And
even though it cannot hurt the film commercially,
it's going to help it. It's going to help the film commercially. It definitely will. I mean, Alice in Wonderland did
over $1 billion.
Billion?
I did not see that coming.
And that's all because of 3D and IMAX.
It is.
Don Treader is not going to do $1 billion. For one thing, it's not in IMAX, but. That's why I think it's really going to give it a big boost.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of – we can talk a little bit about special effects because this is something where it wouldn't surprise me if there's a few little things that they – like I actually kind of wonder if that shot of the the scroll of the map from Koryakin, flying towards the camera is, intended to be, hey guys, we're doing this in CG. Let's make sure we, make sure it works well for the 3D effect. Although, just as a side note, I can't remember what movie it was, but I recently watched a movie where there were the shot almost identical to that, and it was not in 3D. So it was actually filmed to never be in 3D. So I just thought, I guess maybe it won't be that annoying.
Mm-hmm. But you just wonder because obviously when they shot it, they weren't thinking 3D. But and obviously when they shot it, they kind of the scroll is going to kind of roll out in front of the camera. But the visual effects team on the other end, they've had plenty of time. If they want to make some adjustments and make something pop out more, they've had time to do that. So I even wonder, is it possible? Now this I don't really know about. But are there ever like two different versions of the movie insofar as? Will they release in the 3D version? Maybe that scroll will pop out a little more, and the 2D version it'll be different. Like it's from a visual effects standpoint.
I don't think there are ever different versions released because you need two. It just seems like it would be way too much of a hassle whenever you're releasing it on, if not theaters, then DVD.
Well, it's like I mean, you're already have to make a totally separate version that's in 3D, so it seems like it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
I think I don't know how they code them for DVDs and stuff, but that would mean having different movies basically on DVD.
I don't think that would be worth doing a whole separate thing on DVD.
Well, then why would they do it for the a separate version for the theaters and not translate the second?
I'm just saying they would make a because it's in 3D. Like once you release it, obviously you're going to release the 2D version on DVD because people are seeing it in 2D. There's not much point in including that 3D version.
Maybe, but people buy 3D are buying 3D movies now. They have 3D televisions, and I've bought 3D movies where on the DVD it had an option to switch between 2D and 3D.
Right, where you need those annoying 3D glasses, and that has not really caught on.
There's still.
You've got the 3D TVs that are coming out now. They've released like four movies in 3D so far. I don't think Don Treader will ever be a part of that, not for a very long time at least.
Well, in short, I don't think that they have that. But I mean, I will probably see it once in 3D. I mean, you could almost say it doesn't – it's kind of a bad comparison. But you could almost say that the 2D version of Avatar is a distortion of James Cameron's version of the film.
I think I would. Maybe the distortion is a little too harsh, but it's definitely the 3D movie Avatar. That's the movie James Cameron made.
Right.
And 2D is a compromise, basically. It's not quite the movie he made.
It is, but it's not. I mean, like, I think I've told people how I think this is kind of a credit to his cinematography. When I came to watch, I walked into the last half hour or so, and my family was watching it one time. And I came in, and they were watching Avatar. And I was watching it for about 15 minutes without it even dawning on me, oh, I'm not watching it in 3D. Mm-hmm. So he was able to do it in such a way that you in a way, you gain a lot by watching it in 3D, but you don't know that you're missing as much as you're missing if you're watching it in 2D and you've never seen the 3D version.
Yeah, so, but the bottom line is that James Cameron made it from the very, very from the ground up. I'm going to make this movie in 3D, and when he made it, he didn't make it in such a way that we're going to throw things at the audience and really make them feel like they're there. What it did is I like the quote someone used. I heard someone say that James Cameron used 3D in the same way that some directors would use lighting. It just affects your choice of composition. It's not a big distraction. I mean, just like visual effects, you know, they're just a tool used to tell a story.
Yeah.
When they become a distraction, that's when they start hurting the story.
Now for our next visual effects shot.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will probably see it once in 3D, partly because I'm just really curious to see how it translates. Yeah. I'm really kind of curious. And I saw the trailer in 3D and in 2D, and I did think it looked a little better in 2D, but that's kind of just – although it's already digital, so it can only look so good. But, I mean, part of the thing with the 3D when it's converted to 3D is I notice a kind of matting look.
Yeah.
It just looks kind of it looks like – yeah, some things are definitely closer than others, but it looks like a bunch of people kind of walking in front of a background, which is in front of another background, kind of like a pop-up book.
Right.
It doesn't look fluid. So I will see it in 3D at some point, but I will definitely be watching the 2D version first.
Yeah, I mean, I think that assuming I like the movie, of course, and want to go back for repeat viewings, I would think my first two viewings would be in 2D. Then if I want to see it again, then my third viewing would probably be in 3D.
Yeah, fair enough.
Again, there are pros and cons to this. I mean, I think that one of the major pros is certainly the box office. This is really going to help the film. It's a lot more likely we're going to see a Silver Chair movie because of this. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's also an artistic compromise for commercial gain, and that's never something I like.
You felt that way with Harry Potter 5, didn't you?
As far as what
the 3D, you said it watching in 2D, you really felt like it was.
There are some shots where it's like, oh, that's just totally for 3D. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is kind of the a middle ground. I mean, as far as yes, it's not what we would like, but it's also not what some people were really afraid of. Because I remember when people were first we were first talking about the possibility of 3D back before we heard it wasn't going to be in 3D, and then we heard it was going to be in 3D. I remember people saying, oh, no, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be, you know, and I kept saying, no. Have you seen Avatar yet? I said, no, it's not necessarily going to be bad, and it's not going to be shot in that way, but at least, and I kind of got the feeling just with Michael Apted as a director that he wasn't going to go for gimmicks, but
and especially reading this, that would just alleviate that fear even more.
And I'm not afraid of that. And if there's anything going on, it'll be with the special effects guys. And I don't think they're going to do a whole lot. Yes, they'll probably have splashes going now and then. But
I guess as long as the 2D version is safe, you know, I'm not going to complain. There's something, and a lot of people have said this, that there's something that makes me cringe about The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader in
Disney
3D. It just seems like, oh, I just felt C.S. Lewis squirm. You know, I mean, it's like, it just like, it takes this really profound, amazing piece of art that the book is, and just, it makes it seem like this cheap entertainment, you know? So
especially if you imagine, you know, let's just take this to films that are not action-adventure films. You know, you have Pride and Prejudice in 3D, Dark Knight in 3D, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, as long as we get our movie and as long as it's close to the book.
Well, we kind of got that with the BBC versions.
Oh.
They were pretty close to the book in terms of a lot of stuff. It's just that, you know, there's something I've really stolen.
A lot of diehard fans really love the BBC versions.
That's true.
You know, but for me personally, they're literally faithful, but they don't really capture what Narnia is about
to me.
Well,
there's something you've said time and time again, Glyphidal, that I have adopted as one of my rules for a good film adaptation. And you said if you take a great book and you adapt it to film, even if you keep every word of dialogue verbatim in the film, if it's not a great film, then it's a poor adaptation.
Yeah, you did take a good book and turn it into a poor film. Like that, yeah. What kind of adaptation is that?
Yeah, and I love that, and that's something I've added that to my criteria, and mm-hmm. I think it's very
now,
true.
Now, what that entails is that you can try to make a good adaptation, but you can fail. It just in the same way that, you know, a director always tries to make a good movie. Every movie ever made, they were trying to make a good movie, but sometimes they fail, of course. Mm-hmm. So what my kind of criteria here entails is that you can try, oh, we're going to be so faithful to the book, we're going to totally capture what the book is about. Well, you might fail. You might try. You can try, but you might fail.
Yeah, and you might capture the book, but just make the film, you know, bog down the flow,
right.
Or you know, the acting. My acting might be, uh-huh. you know, so yeah. Well. Great thoughts, and I kind of have to thank Glumpedal and Icarus in this one, just because.
Great job, Icarus.
Icarus
that was a
really
great,
did a
great post.
Very good job, and of course, if you guys, I haven't. We actually need to probably do another one at some point, just answering some questions on the emails. I've been trying to keep up with emails and send responses to people, but when they ask questions. But if you want to email us, you can email me at rillian@narniweb.com. And if you want it to appear in the podcast, no guarantees, but just give it the subject line podcast. And if you want to email Glumpedal, he has a similar email address, glumpedal@narniweb.com. Well, this was fun.
It's fun. It is crazy to me to think that this movie is coming out in, gosh, just over two and a half months?
No. October, November, December. Wow.
It is 2.5 months. And it sounds crazy because, you know, I think Fox is kind of playing their, you know, they're under hyping it for now on purpose, and they're going to bust it all out at the end. So it's
we
just
hope.
Crazy to me that, dude, 76 days when this is being recorded, like, it still feels like it's so far away. Dude, it's just around the corner. David Arnold has said that the Don Treader score is complete, so they're mixing now. So they're just about done with this film.
I'm looking forward to hearing what he does with the score.
That's right.
It's going to be a different composer, and so mm-hmm. maybe we can listen. We can buy the score and then listen to it and do it like a score review.
That'd be awesome.
Before the movie comes out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you very much, Glumpedal.
Thank you, as always. Further up, further in.
Further up and further in.